Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 26th on the West Coast, now May the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Well, I hope everyone had a good weekend, a good holiday. We had a show with attorney Carl Pearson from New York last night, and we talked about what is going on in the legal system, and of course what's going on with all the financial markets, the financial corruption, the refusal to of the Justice Department to look at the fact that laws are being broken by these people who evidently are above the law. Evidently, the laws as they've been created are just to serve us, the slaves of society. This is how they see us. I have a guest scheduled for tonight. However, it couldn't be in the proper place on time. My listening audience deserves better than that. And so rather than try to struggle with technical issues and what have you, I just decided I'm going to do the show alone tonight. Of course, you're welcome to call in if you have a question or a comment for me that you or some tidbit that you like to share even with the listening audience. Lots going on, a heck of a lot going on, and again, you're not hearing much about it, and I suppose because you're not hearing about it, you know that old saying, what you don't know won't hurt you, may apply, but ignorance isn't really an excuse, and so that we don't know what's going on, or that there are those who have talk radio shows or who write, or writing books or writing articles for magazines or newspapers, or people who are working on documentary films exposing some of the corruption that's going on. Because you don't have an interest in it doesn't mean that you aren't somehow responsible for not really knowing what's going on. We're talking about facing the reality of life and why we're really here. There are many, many people who have no idea whatsoever why they came here. They figure they're an accident, maybe looking at their families, maybe they are. And it's not passing judgment on anyone. Life is for everyone what it is. And yet there's a higher force that's basically orchestrated things in a way to permit us to create, to create our experiences, to create the our everyday reality. And I'm not, we tend to think in terms of, well, I have to go to work, I have to do this job, and I have to put my kids through this routine that I went through, because that's how it's done. And many people are unhappy their whole lives doing that because it's not what they feel in their heart. They're following their head, or they're following their mind, or they're following someone else's program for them, and they're not being original. Now, just for example, last night attorney Carl Pearson talked about all these different issues, and at the latter part of the show, he just wanted to talk about solutions. He's got a whole bucket full of really great ideas, how to empower yourself. People say, well, I can't find a job. Well, is it really a job you want, or can you perform a task? Can you do something? And we don't really refer to tasks much throughout our lives, other than a task is something that someone is given, usually against their will, and a job is something that you put up with having. Yet the task is well within the means of your talents or your abilities, your skills. And so Carl has put together a website called myclads.com. MyClads, spelled MyClads.com. And you can go there for free and register according to where you live. You can register, and people in your area can read about your services that you can perform as tasks and be paid, be well paid. In fact, this is something that can build up communities that are suffering immensely because of the corporate takeovers that have occurred, or the, let's say, the shipping out of huge corporations that were the foundation of our society. We've learned that these companies left, and as my research and some research of a few others shows, that these companies never really belonged to us. They came up and set up here with the intention of someday pulling out and destroying this economy. And at every turn, that's what we see is going on. So Carl's website is a solution to solving that problem on a local level and empowering the community. Now, you would think that people would jump at that, jump at the opportunity to do what they do for people close to them. And it's amazing. People don't care. People do not care. They would rather just face the circumstances as they may come, a total collapse of a financial market or an economy, and not having a job and not being able to buy food. When you get to that point, what are you going to be thinking? What's going to be going through your mind as to where you're going to get food, or how you're going to survive, how you're going to support your families? It's beyond me that people are so dumbed down or so apathetic. They may know, and they may just not even care. They're apathetic about what's facing us, what's right in front of our noses. There are reports, you hear one thing on the media, the economy is turning for the better. You'll hear somebody from the Congress or the Senate tell you that. Or just mainstream media, the media. They bring these pundits from these think tank organizations or from magazines that are one-way propaganda tools that are just like the same thing you see on camera, on your boob tube. And these people lie through their teeth about, well, we did this study and we did this poll and this is what's happening and this is what the people want. And President Obama sees this. He has so much vision. Crying out loud, the guy still hasn't produced his birth certificate. Can't show where he's from. He cannot and will not show where he's from. And nobody in this country is demanding that. Nobody who holds a public office is demanding that. No one in law enforcement is demanding that. That's beyond me. That can go on and it can be just accepted as, well, that's the way it is. Well, then, you know, that's the way it is works in every direction for everybody. And I keep asking myself, what is it going to take people to wake up, to take a responsibility, to really walk the talk? And that's just not happening. I don't see it happening. Very select few people are actually doing what they say they're going to do. And there seem to not be any consequences for things. These people spend all their time making laws, but they don't have to adhere to them. Doesn't that piss you off as somebody who feels that you're monitoring what the government is doing, that you care, that you participate in government? You don't care that they make these laws and then they break them, and we're expected to abide by them, even if they infringe on our rights? Oh, well, you have to have it that way. You know, that's the penalty for terrorism these days. And they're the terrorists. They're the terrorists. And they are. They're the financial terrorists. They're the ones that murder people all over the planet. They're the ones that cause the plane crashes and collect on the insurance. They're the ones robbing the bank, robbing the U.S. Treasury, blind, and assigning over your assets to some foreign country. They don't even care who, because they're just converting everything into whatever they can to cut and run. They're trying to stretch their time out to a point where either we forget or the world erupts totally into another war, and it won't matter anymore. And I'm interested in how you feel about all of this. Is anyone in the listening audience paying attention to this? Anyone have any thoughts about it? I'm just wondering, because we haven't gotten much of a response lately from the listening audience. Always the same couple of people calling in. And I'm not being down on the listening audience. I just think that it's a worthwhile question. Are you paying attention to what's going on in the world, or what's your perception of what's going on? Do you care about what's going on? Yep, and the phones are ringing off the hook. Okay, well, we can talk about some news out there. We can talk about what's going on in other parts of the world. And in fact, there's one particular website that's pretty much been keeping up with a lot of the interesting little tidbits that are coming out on the internet. Of course, most of this, or none of it, is heard on the mainstream media, and if it is, it's downplayed, or they make an attempt to debunk what's going on. Now, some of you may have heard about a recent group of billionaires. There's what's called a billionaires club. It's actually a secret billionaires club, and some of the people in this club you will recognize. They're making plans for population control. Okay, now that's one thing, but the type of population control we're talking about these days is not going to be the kind that is going to direct people into medical services on let's say a voluntary basis. We're not talking about, you remember the old Planned Parenthood, these fringe groups that they would establish that were putting out all this mind control propaganda. You know, we have to plan, and we have to determine who's going to be qualified to be parents, who can have kids and who can't, and how many they can have. And this article from World Net Daily described some of the people. And here we have Robert Gates, or no, this would have been Bill Gates, excuse me. Bill Gates, David Rockefeller, let's get this straight, Turner, Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett, George Soros, and Michael Bloomberg. Now, these are billionaires. Michael Bloomberg, isn't he the mayor of New York City? And now he's making these decisions with a guy that runs a computer company and a woman that has a talk show on TV and is in a movie with Whoopi Goldberg and Danny Glover. What gives these people the right to make these decisions? What gives them the right to make these decisions? But they want to, they have these meetings, and of course, what the media finds out and what you hear later on is never the same story. The same people are working in different projects. I mean, David Rockefeller. Do you really think David Rockefeller is interested in education? Or health? You really think he's interested in that? Or that he's trying to determine how people can be taken out by the millions? Or even the billions? And when I say taken out, I mean removed, as Christopher Story would say, horizontally, put into a horizontal position. So that's one story out there. And then financial writer from the International Currency Review in London, England, Christopher Story, came out with a big piece today, early this afternoon, describing how Bush Sr. and the Clintons are trying to extort 10% of the gross amount of funds that are being withheld from various institutions across the world. There are these programs that we've discussed on past shows that have been hijacked. And hijacking funds is a crime. And yet this is going on nonstop. Supposedly the World Court is involved, getting cross-referenced reports, intelligence reports, that some 400 or 500 bankers across the United States have been arrested. I'm wondering if anyone out there in the listening audience knows any bankers who've been arrested for this corruption that's going on. And It's amazing, but there are numerous reports that somehow Obama and the Bushes and the Clintons are working together, or they're blackmailing him, or they're threatening to kill him. But then we're hearing the same thing about Bush, that Bush is receiving death threats if he doesn't do this, or he's going to be arrested. His passport has been seized. We don't know if any of this is really true or not. It's just going on and on and on and on while the public's being fed a totally different story. Most of the people out there are just wondering, is Obama going to show his birth certificate? That's the main story that they're concerned about. And while they're looking at that, they're stealing more money and signing away your life. Without your knowledge, or in the case where it is your knowledge, they're lying about the reason and how it's being done, and so you're being hoodwinked and screwed any way you look at it. But there has been plenty of interference on an international scale to stop this corruption, because it's affecting the whole world, obviously. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess. I've reported about this until I'm blue in the face myself. And I don't know that I really have to spend that much more time on it. It's really coming down to the home stretch here, folks. And what I'm referring to is your ability to survive, your ability to be prepared. and for a lot of things. Most people's concern is food and water. And if you're drinking tap water, as long as they have the city water on, I guess you're okay. You'll get your regular dose of fluorides and whatever else happens to be in it. Food, and I'm not trying to scare anyone here. I'm noticing in the stores that the quality of food everywhere has really plunged to a low. There are exceptions, but by and large, everything is higher priced, lower quality, and lasts virtually a fraction of the time things used to last when you would go to the store. You can pick what looks like a bunch of underripe bananas, slightly green, and get them home, and the next day find out that they're all rotten inside. Whether that is attributable to having been frozen and transported and thawed out and refrozen, or it may have to do with irradiation or Lord knows what else. But to be dependent upon others to get us food is probably not real smart either. So many people have become dependent upon the government and all these programs that the government has set up, that when the push comes to shove and things get pretty nasty, they're either going to get something from the government or they're going to starve. They're going to fall by the wayside. Again, I like to keep a more positive message than the mainstream message that goes out. And I still have to take notice of what's going on. I know in the health industry, a lot of people are concerned about, are they going to have health care? Well, what does that mean? Does that mean, are there going to be doctors that can treat you? Or does that mean, is someone else going to pay for your doctor treatments, for your medicines or your medical procedures? No one's being real specific on any of this, but everybody's beating this drum. Yeah, we have to have health care. As this society is turning more and more into a fascist, communist dictatorship. And when you look at who owns all of these medical facilities anyway, and who owns the pharmaceutical companies, or who the pharmaceutical companies themselves own, you don't have a lot of options. None of us do. The one underlying option is that you can choose or create something else other than what we're being handed. While all this is going on, while your attention is being diverted, I remind you that trillions of dollars are being stolen, and the debt for that, the responsibility or the liability for that debt is being assigned to us. Of course, it's being done in a secret way, although they said, oh yeah, well, we have to assign this to the taxpayers. Let me ask you, have you asked yourself, why would I have to pay for a bank's failure, for a bank's corruption? Why should I have to pay for it? How am I capable of paying for it? Ask yourself that question, and how can you not respond? How can you not say anything? And I suppose, I guess I'm still wondering if anyone is listening. Still wondering. Still wondering. But you've heard these things on other shows. If you listen to Patriot Radio, you've heard other folks tell you, you know, get your storable grain, get your water, get your canned foods, your Spam, those things. Have them hidden so no one can get at them. And if you're still alive and surviving after whatever is to come, then you can make a run for it. You can get your food and you can eat. And you'll just wait until someone comes along and does everything for you. I don't know. I get the feeling that that's where everybody's head is. That's where people, that's the direction they're leaning. It's just, they're going to wait and see. They're going to wait for someone else to make the first move. On a few shows this past week, I alluded to some things that I saw in my local community. A city council that has no idea what the gold fringe on the flag is. They have no idea what it means. They have no idea who put it there, why it even has to be there. They have absolutely no idea and could care less. It's amazing. And the issue is that a rather large assessment has been decreed that people living on a certain street are going to have to pay for the replacement of this road and a redoing of incorrectly done sewers, and then the addition of sidewalks that I sincerely doubt are needed. I mean, people will walk on sidewalks if they're not there, but if there aren't people out walking around, the sidewalks are just an unnecessary expense, especially when you're considering the fact that roads need repair. The roads all over. I mean, I'm sure in your community they're the same way. So, when you think about that, ask yourself, well, if I was in that community, what would I be doing? Would I be sticking up for my rights? Or is it, well, you know, that's what they get for living on that street. That's their problem. Because eventually it'll come around to your street. And to boot, everyone else in the city is actually paying the rest of the money for fixing one street. Now, you tell me, where is the sanity in fixing one street? That's sort of like, imagine you had $1 million and there were various people in the community that required transportation to make the city function. So you could say, well, you know, we can take this $1 million and we can buy some vehicles, or we can build some kind of a transportation system that will function well enough to get these small groups of people around so the city can function. No, instead, the guy himself wants to buy himself the gold-plated Lamborghini Countach. And I don't even know if they make a gold-plated one. I'm just being... You know, you can spend a quarter of $1 million on one of those cars. So two of them, three of them, you've pretty much spent all the available money. Now, we know this is going on all over the country. These same idiotic or insane decisions are being made. And likely it has to do with the fact that, well, if they do this one project, if they keep all this money focused in one area, then it makes it easier for kickbacks to occur. It makes it easier to mask the costs. It makes it easier to fool the public. And as long as that street ends up getting fixed, nobody really cares about what happened to the rest of the money, but they're never held accountable. And these are the same people making this decision that don't know why the gold fringe is on the flag. Both in the stars and stripes as well as the state flag, by the way. Both flags have that. And they don't know why the police and the National Guard and the military have that gold border on their patches and certain types of insignia. And they don't really care to know. Well, why bother? I can't do anything about it, is usually what people say. And those are the people getting all the benefits, and those are the people that are not doing the work. They're not carrying the load for the others. They're leeching off the system. And most others don't care. That's beyond me. Oh, more things. Well, then we have, let's change the topic here. This would be interesting here. And these, you know, on my website, I have posted what I think are some interesting stories. They're written by other journalists. And here's one. Again, this happens to be from WorldNet Daily, but it's not like I'm camped out at WorldNet Daily. It just happened to be an interesting topic. Birth certificate billboard mania continues, this is called. First sign erected in truth and transparency campaign. And this is May 20th from WorldNet Daily. Washington. More than $25,000 has been raised in the first 2 days of a national billboard campaign to raise awareness of questions surrounding the constitutional eligibility of Barack Obama to serve as president, and the first sign, an electronic one, is already up and online. Joseph Farah, editor and chief executive officer of WorldNet Daily, said he's calling it the Truth and Transparency Campaign. The money is being used to erect billboards around the country that ask a simple question: where's the birth certificate? The first such sign to be posted under the two-day-old campaign, a digital electronic one, is up and online on Highway 165 in Ball, Louisiana, the result of a donation by the owner. Okay, now, I'm wondering which owner they're talking about. The owner of what? Is it the owner of the campaign? The digital? Is it the owner of the billboard? The owner of the highway? Or the owner of Ball, Louisiana? Anyway, in addition, based on the heavy volume of financial donations in the first 2 days of the campaign, WorldNet Daily was able to commit to leasing two more standard billboards, one in Los Angeles and the other in Pennsylvania. It will take several weeks to get those billboards up because of the vinyl printing and shipping involved. Oh, it doesn't surprise me, especially when it comes to a sign. $25,000 to put a billboard up that says, "Where's the birth certificate?" Certainly, we could fix a few roads with that money, a few city streets, send some kids to college. It's interesting. I mean, it says, "Where's the birth certificate?" And it looks like it's on a fairly high stand, at least from the perspective that they're showing us. So people are seeing this, and yet the media doesn't really pick up on this. Yep. Okay. So that's one of the types of articles, anyway, that I thought people might get a charge out of. You might learn something, you might not. Then we've got the typical airstrike kills civilians in Afghanistan. And, of course, this goes on in Iraq, and I suppose they stopped reporting it some years ago. There are numerous articles, but there seems to be a pattern. There seems to be a pattern between someone out of the military coming out of the woodwork or out of the closet and expressing their dismay at what's going on, whether it's in Iraq or Afghanistan or if it refers to some other war. Some other war throughout our history. In one case, I recently mentioned an article called War is a Racket, and this is by Major General Smedley Butler, who is a retired U.S. Marine Corps officer, and won the Medal of Honor several times, has been highly commended for his bravery and fought in many different wars. He was a career soldier and he became very disillusioned by what he learned about war. He saw it as an opportunity for corporations to make money and sell products that they make to the government at outrageous prices, because the government wasn't paying for them, the people were. You see, these debts were being assigned to us. But when they assign them to us, they tell us, oh, we have to do this for national security. We have to do this for our safety. We hope that this is the end of this. And we're putting democracy out. And after all, you folks have democracy, so, you know, we want the whole world to have democracy. And what is democracy? It's being assigned all this secret debt. That's democracy. And kill anyone that stands in the way of our armies, in the way of our banks, in the way of our pharmaceutical companies, in the way of the oil companies. By all means, don't share the truth with anyone. We couldn't stand to hear the truth or to have the people hear the truth. And we may only have little shreds of the truth, but I certainly can tell you that what you're hearing now is a lot more than what you hear all day on mainstream media, particularly on TV. And then they put out the usual pundits. Many of them have been discussed on this show with my guests. My guests often pay attention to those shows, and they do us that favor. And they come to the same conclusions that those people working for National Public Radio, by and large, are shills for a message that they're putting out, the propaganda message that supports what you hear on TV. And I couldn't believe something I heard the other day in regard to someone calling into a TV show to ask if they can afford a $700 dishwasher. They actually called up Susie Orman's show, and they were going line item through all the money they make, asking if they could afford, if this mother could afford a $700 dishwasher. the stupidity that people have lowered themselves to. And Susie Orman, this is what gets me. Susie Orman is actually going line item through these people's finances. How much they have in their bank account, what their mortgage is. Crying out loud, it's a dishwasher. If you have the money, get it. If you don't have the money, you cannot afford it. It's a simple answer. But they made a whole show out of it. We have a call. Ron from Pennsylvania is on the line. Ron, how are you this evening?
Oh, not doing too bad. Things can always be better. There's always room for improvement. I had some difficulty, as I explained to the fellow who answered the phone. The first call I tried to make did not go where it was directed, so you might be having people try to call and were unsuccessful. On yesterday's program, when you had the attorney on there, he was so inaudible, I could hardly even hear him. I don't know if you've noticed that when you were speaking with him or not. And I cranked the volume up here, and I really couldn't make out much of what he said. For some reason, there was a loss there.
Uh-huh. On my end, I could hear him.
Okay, on my end, I could hear nothing. I could hear you, but he sounded like he was about 30 feet away, and he wasn't talking that loud to begin with. I couldn't pick up almost nothing. What I wanted to call about, you'd mentioned during the beginning of the show, or program, rather, the same observations that I have had. Now, it is quite true, a lot of people want somebody else to do the job, and, somebody else will take care of it. And if everybody does that, then nobody takes care of anything. But I find a lot of people in my speaking with them of the very subject matter, the things we're talking about now, people say, look, you can't do anything. You're just a little guy. One person's not going to make a difference, which isn't true. What can I do? Their gang is bigger than mine, which is not true. People feel so overwhelmed, and they just feel so downtrodden and beaten down and quite often depressed. And also, I don't feel that a lot of people have enough faith in themselves to know that they can make a difference and actually can do something. And if they are really like a motorboat tied to the pier, they don't know maybe which direction to go in. They're confused. They're afraid of losing their well-being, life, whatever. They don't know how to go about it. But people can take steps to educate themselves. There's a number of different ways that could be done. Listen to programs like this one. Listen to other programs as well. There's no one person that has the answer for everything.
Yeah.
And read. There's the public library with a lot of law books down there, and they're begging for people to go in and have the books open. Some of those books, you open them up, and you can hear the crack because they probably haven't been opened in eons. Well, all of that information is there, and some people in government have taken upon themselves to give libraries the books for that reason. If you have a library in your town, it's a federal depository, it is required to have, they will have certain publications there. Just go in and read it. And oftentimes it's better than the computer. But people should not feel that they're unimportant or insignificant. They are important and they are significant. And the obvious answer to the significance is we would not be misled. We would not be sort of urged in the direction that they want us to go in if we were unimportant. If we were, it wouldn't matter, would it?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Ron, let me ask you a question, okay?
Yes.
You made a pretty profound comment when you said, and we've talked about this on other shows, too, most of my guests, and it's the fear factor.
Correct.
They're looking at someone that becomes paralyzed with fear. What
right.
do you think is causing the fear when these people you're talking about know so little about what's going on? There's kind of a dichotomy. Those are the people that actually shouldn't be experiencing any fear at all. They should be oblivious to it.
Well, I had a friend of mine. He passed away. He used to work on the neighboring police department. He had a PhD in psychology, and he was the head of a college psych department. He's a pretty down-to-earth guy. He wasn't one of those guys that are about half nuts. And one day I asked him, I says, John, we talked about people assuming positions of authority and so on and so forth, and I gave him an analogy, and we talked back and forth. I said, John, why don't people do things? Why do they perhaps promote others in a position that not quite jeopardizes their position? And some other general things. He said it's one word, fear. Now, people are afraid of losing what they have. They're afraid of somebody overpowering them and taking it away from them, whether it be their freedom, whether it be their finances, whether it be their home, whether it be their children. It doesn't matter. Something tangible, they're afraid of losing that. And they have to overcome that. And the best way to do that is one person can make a difference. They say no man is an island. That's not necessarily true. Now, the person has to have confidence in themselves. You don't take one boxing lesson and go out and pick a fight. That's a very foolish thing to do. Spend some time reading, spend some time looking, ask questions. And as you go from person to person to person, you're going to find that what will happen in many cases, but not all, you'll be speaking with somebody, and you'll be raising the level of conversation a little bit. They'll come up a little bit more. You'll be raising a little more. They'll come up. Then they'll hit a plateau, and they'll just shut you right off. It's not that that person is not knowledgeable, which might be the case. They are afraid also. They are afraid for two reasons. They, I feel, are afraid because they know that they don't have the knowledge to keep up with, you know, maybe the subject matter of what you're talking about, and they don't want to make themselves look bad in your eyes or embarrass themselves.
Yeah, and this isn't about judging them, though. I certainly can voice my opinion about how I think that they should become involved.
Right.
The fact that they aren't involved, but you know, because then you can nitpick, and then you can start judging the way they perform when they are involved. That's not the point. You know, the point is to offer people a perspective of what is going on, and let them know that they don't have to believe this. It's there for them to find out if they want. You know, no one held me by the hand when I got into it. As I'm sure they didn't you.
What you don't want to do is condescending remarks to people. You don't want to have them feel downtrodden. You want to talk with them, not necessarily at them. And you don't want to cast negative dispersions on somebody because they don't know anything. Like, what's the matter with you, an idiot or something? Don't you understand? You know, that could turn people off. So if you speak with them, you don't have to just unload a whole plethora of knowledge at them at one time. Just speak with them. Have them feel comfortable. You can get a lot more bees with honey than you can with vinegar.
So that's
right. True, you know? It can't be a verbal battle across the table like a ping pong match. Speak with people. You know, listen to where they're coming from. And if they feel comfortable, they might open up to you. And they may say, well, gee, I don't understand. You know, I don't take a lot of notice in politics because it's so disgusting, it's so rigged, and so forth. When you hear that, you know that they know something's wrong. And you can pick up on that and develop it and work with it. But you can bounce around from person to person to person like I do during the day normally with younger people, older people, and so forth. Now, older people have a wealth of knowledge that I don't have. 20, 25 years older than me, or not too much older because I'm not exactly 30 years old anymore, but I've been around the block a little bit. Now, I try to hit the younger people. I try to see what they're thinking about, and some of them don't care. Some of them are very curious and very thirsty for knowledge. They want to know, but they want to know the right things. Now, when you can convey something to somebody and you have documentation or other solid proof of backing it up, they're going to listen to you. But it used to be at one time that nobody trusted the younger kids. Didn't trust anybody over 30. And there probably was good reason for that in a lot of cases. But not all. I find a little bit different today. Younger people are listening. they know they have the whole life ahead of them to live, and they want to know how to do the right thing or how to avoid the pleasantries, unpleasantries. Now, you could do a positive thing by avoiding something. An avoidance isn't always a negative action. It could be to your benefit. You have to think sometime in terms of the different. But the elitist of the world, we know who they are. Rockefeller is one of the dirtiest pieces of garbage that ever lived on the face of this planet. And if he's listening, I'll just tell him again what he is. He wrote a book not too long ago that he even brags about his accomplishments of what he's done. Now, I'd be afraid to stick my head out in public. I would never do such a thing. To me, that's like sticking your head in a noose or in the mouth of a crocodile and asking him not to clamp down. I mean, the man is so arrogant and unbelievably wealthy.
Which one are you talking about, David?
Yeah, the old guy, the oldest one. You know, these people have some things in common. They're immensely filthy wealthy. I mean, they have, you know, they don't want for anything. They have it. Number two, they have to be satanic. And number three, they are extremely intelligent. You can't take that away from them. But you can also give them the, you can also give them the trait of being completely irreversibly insane. Now, these people do gravitate together. They do seem to find one another like magnets and iron filings. And these people, lust for power is disgusting. Now, we don't have the only lockup on these nutcases here in the United States. They're all over the world. There was a book one time that's about 2,000 some pages long of all these groups, like the Tree People and PETA and all these other communist-based and nutcase-based organizations, and there's like some 23,000 of them worldwide. So we don't have the lockup on goofy people. The other countries, they have... see, other countries are a lot older, and they take more of an interest in politics than we do. But the news services do a disservice to us by steering people away, throwing up smoke screens, distractions, other things, preoccupation, sports, entertainment, and so forth. Take the television and go smash it onto the sidewalk. That probably is the best thing you can do for yourself, one of them. Mm-hmm. And there have been families that have done that. They've taken the cable out, and they don't even watch the television. One such, some months ago, somebody had called into a program and said that they had tried that, and they found the family doing more things together than they did before.
I just posted an archive from my publisher editor at the Idaho Observer, Don Harkin's interview, February 10th of this year. And he was mentioning HDTV, and we talked about the mind control, the sound of silence, all the technology that they're using now, let alone what they'll be using when everyone goes digital. And he had seen a cartoon of what it would be like for a family. What's the worst thing that could happen if you didn't have digital TV? And the picture was the TV screen was black, and everyone was sitting around the living room reading a book. Quite a bit different activity from what the norm is, but. You know, we put these warnings out, and sure enough, the information comes out eventually, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole point. I'm not saying I have all the answers, Ron. You know I don't. You don't. None of the listening audience does. None of my guests do. But we can come to...
At least I'd like to try and look for them.
Yeah, we can come to a mutual understanding of what the possibilities are. We don't have to accept all of this stuff. Why have a radio show if we can't talk that way and talk openly and truthfully and be creative about it?
Well, people, they've taken polls and studies and stuff, and people that tend to listen to radio tend to be more intelligent people. Now, this doesn't say that all of the people who watch television are dolts. But you have a different type of audience, different type of person that listens to the radio. And it's the same people that listen to classical music. They're in a different group. You have to think more when you listen to radio. And radio, to me, is a medium that will never die. It'll always be here. There's just no possible way that you're ever going to see radio disappear by tomorrow and be replaced with televisions or Blackberries or whatever they call those things the day after. It's just not going to happen. But radio is the cheapest thing to listen to, and it's probably the best. I would advocate find yourself a shortwave. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an immense wealth of transmission out there. It's incomprehensible the amount of sound waves that are out there to be had. And getting back to people, people have to have confidence in themselves. And that may take some people longer than it does others. Now, read the right things. Go to the libraries. Don't worry about being called a bookworm or anything like that. In fact, it's to your advantage to read those things. Listen to the various radio programs that will tell you what's going on. Now, as you become accustomed to this kind of thing and go throughout the different spectrums, you will find that certain radio programs tend to have more credibility than others. Now, every announcer, every program host has its own format. They all have a different style. They all have different speech. They all have a different way they flavor things. And as people continue to listen to this, they'll be drawn towards certain people. Now, there are some radio hosts that I would prefer to listen to over others, but I still listen to the people I may not prefer quite as much because of the information that they bring forth, which I think is more important than perhaps their voice or their personality or their demeanor. I listen to what they say.
Yeah,
they
this isn't a popularity like contest, you know.
Yeah. Now, the radio, listen to it all. They have to. And I don't have answers for everything. I think I have answers for some things, but my answers may be kind of harsh, so they just won't go across the air. But
yeah.
I say the things that people think in some cases.
Well, but sometimes I'm speaking for the listening audience, and sometimes it's just me. You know, I could spend the whole day. I did this over the weekend. I observed people. And I talked with a lot of people, and I allowed people to express themselves in whatever way they chose. And the thing I found is that the majority of people are talking about stuff that doesn't even matter. It really has no significance in their life, and I think they're trying to make their life significant by talking about that stuff. And that may be
noise.
You know, yeah, what
right.
somebody wore to a party, or who did their hair, you know, or who they're dating. I mean, it's trivia. It's the mainstream trivia that dumbs down the public. And
these
are intelligent people too. These aren't necessarily stupid people.
I think there might be two reasons for that, or a couple of reasons. Number one is the people want to belong to a group, so they're going to express themselves with words that are like in kind, like in type. They want to get along with the Joneses. They want to get along with their friends. Consequently, they are afraid of alienating themselves from everybody. They just can't be alone. And number two is they really don't have much of a value system or structure to take in the things that may matter, like the future of the world, like we're talking about. So probably those are the two main reasons why people, as you observed, talk about how much does somebody pay for a dress or what kind of shoes do they have or what was on television yesterday. Now, they may be intelligent in some areas, but their value systems really aren't in others. And just move on to someone else. Or start counting numbers. There's probably a lot more of those kind of people than there are just the people that you know, talk about the things that really matter. Unfortunately, they're probably in a minority, but the revolution was only started with a few percent of the people, too, and we won it.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
so
I've told the listening audience a couple of times about this encounter with the city councilman, and I got a call this evening about meeting with a group of these people that live on that street. They're interested in knowing what they can do. And they got to hear me speak on TV, which was kind of interesting because I was speaking so they could hear it. I wasn't speaking so much to the councilmen, but to show the people in the listening audience or the viewing audience that when they see the councilman's response, these are the people that are controlling your lives, and they don't even know the meaning.
That's true.
Of the fringe on that flag. Consider what I'm about to say now in light of that. And that lit a spark, or that lit a flame. That was the spark that lit the flame with these folks that they will pursue this a little bit deeper. Some of that's what I hope to have discussed on the show tonight with my guest, but didn't work out. So.
Well, one thing in closing is that if I mentioned, I touched earlier on the library thing. Well, if they go to a library that has the United States Code, I was given a whole United States Code by a public library, and there's a way to get one when they're throwing them out, which is literally what they had to do because nobody was interested in one.
Yeah.
I got the 1995 edition. It probably weighs 500 pounds, the whole set. Go to Title IV in U.S. Code, even in the current one, and I believe you will see the standards for the flag. The flag of the United States, what it's supposed to be, the size, proportion, the width of the stripes, and all of that. You won't see a gold fringe on it. The gold fringe is a desecration of our flag. That's an admiralty flag. When you
yes.
go into a court, you got trouble, unless you know what you're doing. And I've been in the courts, and I've seen it. Now, when you sit back in the audience, and you look at the chairs in front of you, and the slats are designed like the Union Jack, you really know you got your work cut out for you. And that is true. Now, a lot of courts don't have that. All they need is that gold fringe flag on there, and that says the whole business. And
yep.
If they start checking it out and they start reading the law books, now don't overwhelm yourself with so much reading that you're going to get a splitting headache and turn yourself off from reading. Spend some time with it. Go through the general index and look at what is written. It's written in a very specific manner, specific words, and there are no mistakes there in that whole code. That code is written that way for a reason. And as you become acquainted and familiar with it and listen to some of the guests that you've had on, I guess Ken Adachi and some of the other ones that have been on there have attempted to explain this within the realm of a one-hour program, of course, but you could have a series that would go on for a year and every program be different, but
mm-hmm.
it takes some time. But it's out there for you to learn and to have.
Yeah. Well, Ron, we're out of time. I want to thank you for calling in, having the courage to call in and share your thoughts and some good information with the listening audience. And I'm going to call it a night. So
me too.
You be sure to call in again. Good to hear from you, and we'll talk soon.
Will do. Take care, Don.
Okay, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. That was Ron from Pennsylvania calling in. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. If I didn't get to your message on the air, I'll make it a point to try to do that tomorrow night. In the meantime, I wish everyone out there in the listening audience a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.